The Drop with Frank and Brian is officially brought to you by Switch Suspension. Switch Suspension specializes in all vehicle chassis components. Lift kits, lowering kits, air ride suspension, wheels, tires, steering, and brake upgrades. They use all the best products from the best brands. And these guys are truck guys. You roll into their parking lot at the shop and they all drive custom vehicles. So they use their products that they sell on their own vehicles. So if you guys are looking for anything for your vehicles, whether you're just starting out or you just need some replacement parts or whatever, give them a call or visit their website, switchsuspension.com. Yeah.
There you go. You got it.
Oh, it is. Maybe it's just choppy at the very beginning because I didn't change anything.
Oh, could be. You sound good now.
All right. That's all that matters.
That's all that matters. So here we are back in our rooms.
One thing, the doing the podcast over at Jason's made me realize is that we have terrible lighting.
Yeah.
It's the bright lights that we think are good behind us are not good.
You said it's too sterile. Feels like we're in a hospital.
It does.
I don't know. It looks See, I rely on my natural backlighting back here, so it's
you don't need backlighting.
Gloomy day.
But that's the thing is you don't need backlighting.
Oh.
Like if you look at podcasts that are lit, they're not bright.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, they're all very kind of like dark. Yeah.
I have mine down a little bit, and I have this light back here, and I want to get like another light behind my computer here to shine up on the wall or something like that.
Yeah, you know, I did that. It was like still bright white, but I did that with another flood lamp I had. But I understand the concept, like maybe like a different color.
Yeah, like maybe we'll order a couple of like RGB little lights, like just little ones, and then. You have one color, I have like another color back just behind shining on the wall, and then just close the curtains behind us and then like dial down, just dial it in a little bit. That's the one thing I was just like, man, that looks so cool.
Yeah. Well, but, yeah. His whole little studio there was legit,
but we're also obviously limited because we're not in the same space. And it's not like if we built a podcast studio in the backyard that you could just hop on over, or I can hop on over there each week. You know what I mean?
Well, we're just going to have to build identical studios, one in Phoenix and one here.
Like they did in Ocean 11 when they built the identical vault to the...
Oh, yeah.
To rob the bank.
You know what's funny is like, it's funny you mention that because since visiting Jason's spot, I've been looking... Do you know you could buy an entire tiny house on Amazon?
Yeah.
I was like checking them out, and they're like these. They're basically what they are is like a shipping container that with slide outs on the side.
Okay,
and you can get them. They're about 10 or 11, but they're between like 10 and all the way up to like crazy amounts. But the general like median amount is like between 10 and 13,000.
Yeah,
but you get a space. I don't know how many square feet it is, but it's quite large. Because you got to figure it's like a shipping container is like, what, 8 foot wide?
Yeah.
So you have another 8 foot on each side. So, you know, whatever that works out to be by about 20 foot long. It has a bathroom inside of it.
My buddy got one for his shop. I'll have to put some pictures up here. But he got it for an office. So he put his, one of those half shipping containers. They cut in half.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then they put like little windows in them and stuff.
Well, he did that. So he just bought the shipping container. It looked like a small shipping container. Put it into the parking lot of his shop, like in the back area. And so it freed up. He didn't have an office in his shop, so that's his office. So he cut the hole in it. He put a sliding glass door in it. He put a window in it. And like he did.
I have a container.
Yeah.
I have a 40-foot container. I mean, it's our storage container.
Yeah, but, yeah.
That's an option too, because those are actually cheaper. You could pick up a 20-foot container for like, $5,000 or $6,000, something like that.
Yeah.
Way less, because I paid $45 for a 40-foot. So I think you can pick those up for like a couple grand.
And you said there's limitations on building out there, right? Where you're at?
Well, there is. Yeah. The city seriously trips about shipping containers. Like, they don't like them, but I'm sort of like, Uh-oh. I hope the city's not listening. But you know my you know the compound, I can kind of like tuck things away, be a little hidden.
Well, people in that area kind of skirt around the laws, I think.
Yeah. But you know what's okay, I got a funnier story that I guess I'll share. So, you know, I'm always trying to like it kind of goes with what's been going on with me. So like, I don't know if you saw my Instagram with like my tractor content.
Oh yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I brought out the big boys.
Yep.
We like, you know, everybody knows that my road is dirt. It's muddy. It's terrible. So I finally hired professionals with professional equipment and they came in and smoothed it all out. So, you know, I'm always trying to like call the city and try to get a gauge of what's going on. One time I called, I was like, I was like framed it in a way that I kind of didn't know, or like I didn't know what was going on. I was like, hey, you know, I just, you know, I got this thing and that has a dirt road and we just moved in and I want to find out what it would be to pave it. And they're like, no, we're not going to do that. They're like straight up said no.
Yeah.
I said, but isn't it like a city road that needs to be maintained? They're like, no, we don't have to maintain dirt roads.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's awesome. That's great. Thanks. And then actually just recently I called this might be a little too much inside baseball, but I think it for context it works here for this whole little conversation we're having about building a studio or whatever. So I do want to build like a shop on the property, a bigger shop.
Yeah.
And so the first idea would be like a metal building, like just build a metal building. Well, my city doesn't allow metal buildings. However, they do in certain scenarios. So I call it the city again, just kind of like naive, you know, I'm like, hey, you know, I got this property here. And I'd like to, I heard different people were telling me metal buildings were not allowed. And she goes, yeah, they're not. Well, it's a very specific, special thing. And I was like, okay, what's that? And she's like, well, you have to live within this certain area of Apple Valley that's agricultural, low density housing. And I'm like, ha, I happen to live exactly where you're describing. And she's like, oh. And she's like, what's the address? So I give her the address. She types it in. She's like, oh, yeah, no, you could have, but those are only on the 5-acre parcels. And I'm like, well, that's funny. I have 5 acres. And she's like, no. You have a subdivided 5 acres with 2 2.5-acre parcels. No go. I'm like, all right, thanks.
Yeah,
like I said, that's some deep cuts right there. But, you know,
I was like, because over at another shop, they're putting containers and that, you know, they put 2 containers and then in the middle, they put like a metal thing that attaches to the container so you can like drive under. So I was like, what if you had another container next to your other storage container and in the middle you had a cover with a cement pad so you put vehicles there, and then in the other container that's not storage, that's where your shop and studio is.
That's a cool idea. However, like, I don't know, man, it looks a little country. We're not trying to look too country around here, even though
I got bad news for you.
I know. I'm trying to pretend like I don't live in the country, okay?
I know, but like some of those are really, really cool. That's the like.
No, yeah, I get it. I've seen some nice ones, and yeah, that's something I could. I, dude, like half of my existence is just sitting around, like thinking, well, I could do this, yeah. I could do that, and then, you know, I don't know. Yeah. But anyway,
do you ever watch YouTube videos?
Jason
of that
Studios.
Stuff?
Some here and there, but yeah. I was kind of really fascinated by the whole tiny house thing. So
yeah,
you know, but there's tons of options. I don't know. We'll figure something out.
Yeah. It just seems like a tiny house. You spend 10 or 11 grand on that. And then you're like, wait for another, like what, like another 20 or 30 or whatever. I know it's another 20 or 30, but like if you're already spending 10 for this thing, make it bigger for the other things. So it all
makes
sense.
Like, yeah, but I don't want to get specific, but anyway, yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. It's like when you buy a truck or a car, and back in the day when you could get like the CD player for like $400 and then you're like, nah, I'm not going to get it. It's like, you're already spending 20 grand. Spend
I've
the extra
that.
$400 on the CD player. It's like,
yeah, I've done that.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, Jason's studio is cool. That was a whole cool thing that we did. For those who don't know, we were on the Auto Revolution podcast talking about truck shows. And then last week's episode was us having Jason on our show in his space. Yes. So it was cool. It was really cool. It was a cool experience. And thanks to him for having us by.
And if people don't know, that studio is actually not a studio. That's under his house in his secret vault.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's 20 feet underground.
Yeah.
through blast doors.
Yep. That's why it was so dark and it was really cold because he doesn't have the heat set up yet.
Yeah. And it's, and again, 20 feet underground, it gets cold under there.
Yeah.
But anyway, I got my, my drop mug. Thank you. I'm all dropped out, man. I got my drop shirt.
You're
on.
Dripped out.
I'm dripped.
Is that what the kids
out.
Say these days? Drip.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You got your drip.
Got my riz.
You got I'm your all drop. Rizzed out. How did the road come out though? Because I was like,
oh, it came out sick. Yeah. Like, well, I mean, sick in the respect that like there's no more gigantic craters that will hold water. It was like the guy. Like tried to make it so it's like high in the middle and then yeah. drains off to the side. I mean, it still could use some massaging, so we'll see, you know, but I'm, I mean, it's better than it was.
You never, you're not going to know till you get some rains, right?
That's true. Yeah. So we'll see what happens.
The next time it rains, you're just going to be standing out there like this.
No, I tell you what, this is, you want to, this is the old man. You ready for the old
yeah,
man?
The get, off my lawn, old man,
the get off my land, get off my lawn. There's this young person who lives kind of down the road.
They drive too fast down your road.
Dude, the dude has a lifted Silverado and comes around the corner flying.
Is it Dwight's cousin?
It might be Dwight's cousin. I don't know. I never really asked.
You better talk to Dwight and tell him to get his country boys in check.
That, whatever they are. That fool's going to find out if he tries to do it again. But no, yeah, that was cool. And I know that there are some people who like follow the Instagram page and stuff who like the tractor content. So I thought that was cool.
Dude, the tractor content's where it's at.
I think it's better than the truck content, to be honest with you.
Kind of thinking. I bet you if you did tractor content, your channel would get more views and subs than
probably
mini truck content.
Probably.
It's sad, but.
Yeah. But hey, speaking of mini truck content,
yes.
This episode is airing Monday.
Yep.
Everybody should. Oh, and this one's also on my channel.
Yep.
They should also stick around and watch the Day to Remember video that uploaded today.
And then go to my channel.
Oh, and then.
And yeah. then go to my channel and watch the Mini Truck Revival showcase video that's about to drop.
Yeah.
That's dude. Why I put like, it's a mini truck week. I put the story up and I was like, because it's like, we've got Forbidden coming up. I just mm-hmm. uploaded the old footage from the first show.
That was so cool. We got to dive into that.
Yeah, and then I knew you were working on the 30 year, and then
mm-hmm.
I'm working on that thing, and then it's just like this whole. We should make March the mini truck month.
Mini truck March.
Or like the week leading up to Forbidden or something like that. We only upload mini trucks on our channel.
That'd be cool.
Like pictures of mini trucks.
I kind of do that anyway. But
when you upload.
Yeah, when I upload.
But like if we like that's we a, could stash away some mini truck, like even if they're old ones that we bring back. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I was actually I took some a few years ago when not a lot of stuff was going on, I was just digging around and I found some what's it called? You know, the old
camera. Photos?
Yeah, photos.
Oh, like disposable cameras.
Disposable camera photos, yeah. I came across some of those from the 2001 Forbidden Fantasy show.
Oh, okay.
And a few years ago, I put them on the Instagram. I uploaded them on there, but they're buried now. So,
well, that's what I'm saying. Like, this, you week. Yeah, this week. Yeah, re-get those back and just be like, you know, it's a. It's funny because that video that I posted, right, with the show, mm-hmm. that was not me walking around filming.
I don't
know who it was.
If you look at the, because you told me that, and I went back and kind of looked a little closer, it had to been, how do I put this?
Bigger guy?
Maybe. Bigger guy.
So, okay. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was Galen, because in the.
Oh, that's what I was thinking.
In the raw audio, which I couldn't upload because there was music playing in the background and stuff. And
mm-hmm.
But you can hear him saying certain things like, hey, Matt. And I was like, okay, that's definitely him. But yeah, someone was like, thanks for the headache, shaky footage much. And I was like,
it's from 1998. What the fuck? Was that on the YouTube channel? Someone said
no,
that?
No, it was a buddy of mine. He was just messing around.
Oh,
Leo,
oh my God.
I'm talking to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Leo from up north?
Yeah, he's just like, yeah. Thanks for the headache. And I was like, what did I do? And he's like, your shaky footage. And I was like, oh, well.
Yeah.
It's a little better now.
Yeah. Technology has come a bit.
Yeah. So, but it was, and then someone brought up the fact. Oh, Dower said it's cool to see the timeline of when S10s and Tacomas were fairly new. Still,
that's what blew me away. That black Tacoma is so cool.
Yeah.
It's like 2 years old. Yeah. Or it could have been brand new. We don't know. It was like a year old because it was 98.
Very interesting story on that truck. And I didn't know it was the same guy that owned the 84 to 88 that Alan painted with all the bands. And
oh, really?
Same owner. Oh. And he was on Jason's podcast, Our Lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And his, if you listen to that story about that truck, it's so cool. Like
about the Tacoma?
About that Tacoma. Yeah. Oh, and cool. How it came, like he went to the dealer and got it. And then like, he didn't kind of know what entailed the body drop. And so the guys took it to the shop and then he like this brand new truck.
Did he have a little bit of a freak out? Like,
I don't remember. I listened to, it was a really good episode and you should definitely listen to it. Like
I'll go check it out. Yeah.
And, but yeah, I always loved that Tacoma. It was one of my favorites because it had graphics, but they were very small, like minimal.
Yeah. Right along the bottom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was sick.
My favorite part was in the toward the beginning of the video, walking through, and it because it starts off near the vendors, and then the wheel vendor.
Yeah,
all those cool wheels, man. Those old, you know, everybody knows that my favorite wheels are Alba Banks, which are an early 2000s wheel. But my second or third or fourth, but definitely my top five favorite wheel are those Primes. They're like a 10-spoke prime, and then they kind of they go straight and they kind of curve right at the end. Mm-hmm. I saw one of the very first mini trucks I ever saw was a Mazda that had those on it. And I was like, that's it right there.
Yeah.
But yeah, the wheel vendor was cool. The DB drag setup was really cool. Yep. That was awesome.
Those were all shops in Moreno Valley too. Like that wheel shop was the, I forgot what it was. I want to say Pro Performance, but it's not Pro Performance, but I think it was Plus One Performance in Moreno Valley, and the dude used to hook all of us up with wheels. It's where I got my Giovanni's for my Tacoma.
Oh, cool.
It's where Ernie used to get all his wheels for his trucks, and then the DB Drags was Modern Image in Moreno Valley, and I want to say that they might still be there. I'm not sure.
Oh, that'd be really cool.
But they're the ones that hosted the DB Drags all throughout the Forbidden years, even when it got real big at Paris, and they did the World Finals there and stuff.
Oh, really?
Oh, wait, no, they didn't host the World. Anyways, they were big into that DB Drag thing.
Yeah, that was cool. The gratuitous butt shot.
Yeah.
That was funny. Just like, I guess when you're in your 20s, like,
there's, you know. I have a lot of old footage and people are like, oh, you should upload it all. It's going to take some heavy editing to get.
You've showed me some stuff.
Yeah.
So that I'm like,
The River Run stuff. And it's pretty like.
You know, we talk on Jason's podcast. We were talking about truck runs and stuff, but I feel like we almost need like another episode to go back and really dig into each one. You know, I feel like, you know, we could have said more. I don't know, because like we talk about that stuff, like, you know, the old footage that you have from the river runs and stuff. And like, I don't know. Do you think we covered it all? Maybe we covered it all. I don't know.
We never cover it all. That's the problem.
Yeah. That's the thing. Yeah.
You know, it's just. And is it going to be boring to the listener? Because that's true. You know, some of it won't be, but like if we're talking about just experiences that we had,
yeah, that's
like
true.
those in particular ones. But if you blanket it, you could talk about river runs, and that could be an entire topic because river runs were way different than like Rezzo.
Yeah,
you know, Rezzo was not. It was cold. The river runs were hot. There was a whole different feeling at those at each of those right. runs. And then the runs at like Summer Madness were totally different.
Mm.
You know,
speaking of Summer Madness, that was another cool part in the Forbidden video was Cherokee's van.
Did you see actually Cherokee?
No, I didn't see him.
So he as did you see those yellow trucks in the beginning at the vendors?
Uh huh.
There was that was Little J's Auto Upholstery. There is a Nissan 720 with a utility bed, like a wooden bed, like flatbed thing. He still drives that truck every single day to this day.
No way.
Yeah. Still has the shop. Little J's Auto Upholstery in Riverside. It's like off Main Street. And then the next vendor over was Companion Racing, who it's a shop that I used to work for. It was a suspension shop and body shop, body and paint. And then Cherokee's standing right there in front.
Oh, I got to go back and look at that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one thing that, again, like, you know, again, like to go into way more details, like those runs, you know, like even like you could do a whole episode just on different Summer Madnesses because like, you know, Cherokee and the whole van culture and how that, you know, how the mini truck culture is born out of that. And then like the scene being born out of the van culture and growing with the van culture, and then kind of like beefing with the van culture and having like, you know, because the van culture were all old dudes and well, we were the young. Well, I understand. I know.
No. If you think about it, though, like Summer Madness, they had the vans and the trucks, and then the van guys would kind of complain about us because we were a little rowdy.
Right.
What's happening now?
I know that. And that's where you're going. I know. We're like, I know. But at the time, yeah, it was us being frustrated. I remember because my old club, Twisted Obsessions, used to help with judging at the shows. He would have us judge the shows. And, you know, the first year we did it, we were so stoked and like, you know, but the third or fourth time we were doing it, we were like giving all the trophies to like the van guys, because like obviously they had the not the best paint necessarily, but like if you
on
had
a point scale, they had the most done to the paint job.
Exactly. Yeah. So like, you know, the vans were always getting it. And I remember distinctly sitting there as a club going like almost like conspiring, being like, okay, this is what we're going to do. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I remember that too. I remember those days, and it was, they were trying to appease the van guys because that's what the run started as.
Right.
But they needed the truck guys for financial stuff.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and, hey, drop.
Oh, whoa. I just flew out of your ear. It's just like,
oh, the ideas just jump out of my, they're just, I know, coming out.
It just blasting.
Yeah. It's funny just how it cycles, you know, like,
yeah.
I don't know, but yeah, that, I have a Summer Madness video, a walk around of Summer Madness. That's me, Ernie Macias, Mike Quigley. And so I think that's probably going to be the next one that I cut up.
That was the one where you were the, that green Toyota that was like a convertible. Though I can't remember you showed me that.
No,
one.
No, that was
a different one.
Different one. Oh, no. That was. Yeah. The one that was in the show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. That was super radical.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one was crazy. That was like the first time seeing something just like that low and just crazy. But
and then the other thing that I didn't bring up or whatever on Jason's podcast was, we were talking about the Virgin Runner thing and about how, like, you know, that was a whole thing. And I didn't get to tell my Virgin Runner story. It's not crazy or anything.
Well, you could tell it next time we're on Jason's podcast.
No, okay, just there we go. We're gonna save it.
No, go ahead.
Oh no. I mean, it's nothing crazy or anything. And I didn't get doused in mustard and beer and all that stuff, but I had to do the hot boxer contest. So somewhere there's a video of me up on stage doing the hot boxer contest, because, you know, that's what
was,
I
it guess at was Summer like, Madness.
It was a Summer Madness
at Lake Paris Fairgrounds.
Bakersfield. No, Bakersfield.
Oh, okay, because they did one at Lake Paris Fairgrounds when they had Summer Madness there, like 1 year, I think. And I remember Gary Stalling, who was in Forbidden, won the hot boxer contest.
I have that footage. Now that I realize it, I did. So I'll dig up my footage and I'll try. Well, you got to explain to me how to get it off those old DV tapes.
Oh, okay. Maybe just bring them out next time you're here and we'll watch them and
okay, cool.
And do
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Cause it's, I have the little plugs and everything, like,
yeah. Cause I have Summer Madness and I think I have a council run. I didn't do too much, but I did a little bit. And those were like the early 2000s.
I've got
like 2002, 2003. Yeah.
I've got so much. And
that's cool.
But it's one of those things where I don't want to dive all into it, because then it's like telling stories about when we used to be cool.
Yeah, but
like
I get what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to sprinkle it through. I don't want to just like,
wait, hold on.
Yeah, you want to restart your camera anyways?
Yeah, okay. Actually, this is going to be a little bit of a break.
Okay.
Hold on. I'll be back.
Handyman, tractors.
That might, I'm going to turn the channel into like a home improvement channel or something.
No, you don't want that many views and subscribers.
I know, right? That'd be dumb.
Why would we want to do anything to make us grow?
Yeah.
No.
Whatever.
I cannot get off the subscriber count that I am now. It bounces up one, goes down one, up one, down one, up one, down one. I'm like,
really?
Yeah.
That's frustrating.
It is. It's not, it is frustrating, but at the same time, I'm just like, what? Like, no one new is watching this. I have an entirely new outlook on what I'm doing. I don't know. Yeah. What were we talking about before?
We had to take a little break. So we kind of like a little lost.
Yeah,
as
sorry.
We jumped into it. But no, that's my fault. Cause like I had to do stuff, but, no, we were talking about, just about how you have all this footage of all the years of doing this stuff, and you don't know if you want to dump that on the world because it may seem, you know, like you're just living in the past. But I kind of like, I look at it through a different way. Like, that's documentation. That's like, that's important. That's super important for people to see.
It is. I just want to sprinkle it at in a, like, over a period of time. I don't want to just like
get all of it together and flood it.
It needs to be. And I also think like there's good timing, like the Forbidden thing, a week out of our current show to do our first show. Like, that was really good. That, you know, so the next one, I don't know what I'll do, but, you know, I've got Spring Splashes. Do I have Spring? No, West Coast Nationals, Spring Splash, or Endless Summer. A bunch of Rezos at the at Lake Dolores. There's just a lot of footage, though, that I have to edit out. Cause
that's true. Well, a lot of it's like kind of like just not usable, like a lot of walking around. Some of it,
a lot of walking around, a lot of just BS. But then there's just some really funny. I think it's like a treasure hunt for some people.
It is. Yeah, because even like footage that we record now, because like, well, I was just like, I said at the top of the episode, go check out the day to remember your 30th anniversary thing. And, you know, we're walking around so much just recording people talking and things happening that you have to go through each clip and pull out those like tiny little things, like someone just says something or does something and you're like, oh, that's perfect. You know, but it is a lot of hunting. So
yeah,
I can imagine yours is a lot of hunting.
Well, what it is the at the River Run. You know, I'm recording as people are driving by. So imagine that you like were at this Parker River Run in the late 90s and you're not in the scene anymore, or your buddy's not in the scene anymore, but you remember taking his whatever truck to the show and it just drives by randomly in the background.
Yeah,
I think that is the freaking coolest thing.
That is. And yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Like that, it's important. It's really, really important, you know, and it was much harder to do back then because there was not the tools that we have now to capture stuff, you know? So
yeah, I'm glad
it's really rare to see that.
Yeah. And then after I upload all the truck stuff, then I'll go into my, my down in Mexico riding days,
which is interesting.
So much footage of us driving my old Mitsubishi pickup truck and then Tony Galindo, who that was in the club, his beat up Blazer. And we just trailering dirt bikes down into Mexico and going riding. It was
the world needs to see that 100%.
It does. Yeah, there was a part in there. I wish Tony would have held the camera, but I wrecked really bad.
Oh really?
Yeah, and it was on video. But like, you don't see. So I was going up a hill, and I went to shift down into first, the sandy dune hill, and it was steep, and it's not rideable. And like, not a lot of people were riding down there, so it's just like really soft, and. When I went to shift down, I didn't shift. I couldn't get it. And when I just stopped my momentum. So when I finally clicked it in and hit it, it just went up over me and landed on top of me, buried me in the sand, and then rolled. It continued to roll down the hill. Tire came off the bead.
Wow. And
it was pretty funny.
That is pretty funny. And also, like, luckily nothing happened.
I know.
Man. Yeah. Well, yeah, no, definitely the world needs to see all that. There's so much more to talk about runs and shows and different things like that. So I don't know. I guess we'll get it all out there eventually. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think so. I think once we will upload one and we'll kind of talk about it, like watch it, digest it, and then talk.
But
about
back
it.
To the Forbidden one from '98. Those are the things that stuck on my mind. The old logos, the old vehicles in the club. That was really cool to see. We talked about how, you know, another thing was Dara was saying the S10s were pretty much brand new trucks back then too. You know, some of those that were built. Yeah, man. Whose bug was that?
Nick Lenga.
Okay.
Nick Lenga, that was his bug. And he, there's a funny story with Nick, man. He had that bug, lived in Moreno Valley, and then went to Arizona for school. After high school, went out to Arizona and went to one of the schools out here. And he met some other truck guys out here. Well, those other truck guys that he met out here in like 99-ish, maybe, ended up being the guys that started the No Regrets Arizona chapter later on.
Oh.
Because okay. Bobby.
Bobby
and all those guys.
Yeah. But
James Chamberlain, State 48 Glass. One day he's like, hey, I used to hang out with some dude in Forbidden that was out here. He had a yellow Mitsubishi truck because Nick bought that yellow Mitsu that was in that video. He ended up buying that and had it out here. And yeah, I even have footage of, no, that wasn't that show. One time we all like piled up in our vehicles and drove out here and stayed in. We got to Nick's apartment. He had this little apartment with a roommate because they were both going to college out here. Mm-hmm. And I remember I slept in the kitchen. Some people slept in like the hallway because it was a tiny, tiny apartment. And like five of us, five or six of us drove out to a show out here, out in Arizona. It was funny.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stuff like that, man. Yeah. We're getting to the point now where like I said, I keep saying it and I keep saying it. It's just like important because like, you know, there's a dude on Instagram right now. He's got a great page. It's called 46 to 49. Maybe we'll throw a correction or people know what I'm talking about, but he's documenting the whole lowrider culture. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily what people think of when they think of lowriders, which are like G bodies on wire wheels and Impalas on gold Daytons and stuff. This is more like in the 40s and 50s, the very, very beginning roots of lowriding. And this dude is like going out there and seeking these people out and talking to them, like the first guy to do names on the sides of cars, you know.
Yeah,
which kind of translates into what we do, the sign painters who did like logos and stuff, you know. But he's like really digging in there and talking to these people, and like that's where we're kind of getting to the point where we need to go back and dig around and talk to people and get all this stuff out, which is kind of what, you know, Jason's doing on his podcast. He's doing a really great job of like fleshing out all these, like, you know, all of this like very niche, very small things that happen, you know. And
yeah,
he's doing that on his podcast. He's doing a great job.
Yeah. And I just realized there's two Jasons with podcasts.
Oh yeah. Well, the first one
I was referring to, I guess I should say Ballard, and then we'll refer to Ballard.
Yeah, I know. Ballard.
Because Ballard also he does a really good job of like going through the magazines and like and talking. Like I don't know. He's got a lot of time where he can just ingest all that information and remember it all. So yeah, it's really cool to see it.
Yeah, there's people doing it, and really respect those guys and thankful for those guys doing all that hard work to put it together, you know. And we're just out here just screwing around,
making tractor content. I'm making backyard content. So
oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, I saw that your pavers are coming along, and I love how you're like, I'm gonna get this all done to just look inside from the AC, just look out at it.
And yeah, I'll be like, when it's all done, I'm gonna make a video, and it's just a lot of time lapse and stuff. And then we're gonna talk about it on this. We're gonna have a drop episode where I debut my backyard video.
Heck yeah, that's awesome. I'm the opposite. Like it's cold here still, so like I'm waiting for the weather to warm up to enjoy the thing that I did, you know, a few.
Oh
months
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, that's true.
Because like it's hard to enjoy it. I'm like out there, like a couple of coffee, and I'm like, it's so cold.
I know. The weather's perfect here, but I know by the time I get all this, I'm trying to get the patio part done before I leave for the show. We'll see.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we got one more episode before the show.
To record.
Yeah, because we got to do that. So I guess we'll dive in more of the show next week. I don't know. So.
Or we just do a kamikaze on Sunday.
Those never turn out well.
I know. We're so tired from the weekend.
We're like so, like, our brains are just cooked, you know? Yeah. That never works out. We need time to, like, decompress, think about it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm excited. I'm excited for the show, but we'll talk about that next week. But, yeah. So, what else is going on?
Tacoma news.
Oh, Tacoma updates. I love those.
So, I realized that in my last Tacoma video, I left everyone hanging. The entire video was to see if the tires didn't rub the bedsides, and we never put the bed back on.
Oh, yeah, you didn't
on.
Show it. Yeah, yes.
There's a reason we didn't put the bed back on.
Oh, no.
Because at the last minute, while I was there, like, I bought the paint to paint all the frame black. You know, it's not a show truck, so we're not going to, like, strip it apart and powder coat everything and all this stuff. We just spotted some.
Except for some parts, because you mentioned that.
This is where it's going.
Oh, okay, so, all right.
Where I was like, okay, well, we're just going to paint everything black, and then I'm there, and I'm like, hey, I'm just going to take these link bars down to the powder coater real quick. And not in my head realizing that powder coaters, you don't show up and they powder coat your things and you take them
away. Right, it
takes
a while.
They're in line with everything else. So like we undo the links and stuff and I throw them in the truck and then I go, oh, we cannot put the bed back on until these are done. So Panda has been, the truck is ready for the show basically.
Oh, really?
But we have not put the bed back on.
Oh, because when are the link bars and stuff going to be done?
They should be done. They should be done Monday or Tuesday. So it's just gonna be one of those things. Go down to Pandas, put them back, reinstall them, and then put the bed on and see what happens.
Hopefully, because you still kind of don't know if
we don't know because the disc brakes mm-hmm. are a tad bit thicker than the drums. So did we take enough out
to compensate?
To compensate?
Do you guys realize that when you were cutting it or not?
No, we knew, but you can only cut so much without having to buy new axles.
Yeah, that was like the most fascinating part to me was like, because I the whole time, like it's easy to cut a housing down and weld it back together, but the axles, like that's, and so, all, but I guess it was just trimming off some.
All axles are built differently, right? So some have like shoulders where they taper down.
Oh, uh-huh.
You know what I mean? But if you take an axle out, you can see the shiny part is the part that makes contact with the gears in the rear end. And then mm-hmm. there's a part that wasn't shiny. So you know mm-hmm. that you can take that much out, that non-shiny part out. I knew that part because we shortened a rear end and did that over at my buddy Cotton's a long time ago with a Toyota axle. Then you got to worry about the shoulder, so where it tapers mm-hmm. up. So even if you take it out, is that shoulder going to hit where it goes?
It didn't seem like that rear end was like that. Was that just straight?
No, it was. It had like a shoulder on it, like slight taper. Mm-hmm. And then there's some axles that are just straight. So you can cut however much you want off, right. And then even get them like resplined sometimes and all that stuff. So
I chickened out on that. On the front of the 4Runner, when I put the wheels that I have on it currently, they had these really cool like concaved caps, and they look so good. And then I went to go put on the truck, and the back was fine, but the front, the dust cover poked them out. Like the dust cover on the front wheels.
You can just take the dust cover off.
But then there's still not enough room. So, like, same scenario where you got the threads of the front of the spindle for the...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So then I was talking to a few people, and they're like, yeah, just cut it. And I got all the way there, and I'm like, nah, I'll just get popped out caps.
Are they stock spindles?
Yeah, they're stock spindles.
Oh.
No, maybe they're not. They're lower. I don't know what they are. They could be lower.
Dude, spindles are like $10 at the junkyard. Just go buy another set of spindles and cut them down.
That's true. Yeah, I don't know if they're lowering spindles or not.
If they're lowering spindles, like $150. It's worth it to get that ugly dust cap off of there. You sent me those photos the other day.
I know, there's not one.
I was like, ew.
Well, that was a different story. That was ew. That's like that thing. Ew, brother.
Yeah, yeah, because you don't notice it when you're standing up and looking down at the truck as much as you're like right at the wheel.
And you're like, ugh, I'm all, that's disgusting.
Oh, those ruin the entire thing. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
Well, I mean, at least the lug nuts aren't rusty.
I know. I told Brandon, I was like, hey, I know you know this, but you're going to get a cut. You're going to put a center cap on there, right? And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
when they do the drawing.
Right. Yeah. He's all, no, we're definitely going to leave the cover off.
For people that don't know, the guy that does our shirts, Fuel Market, he called me the other day. Usually they'll do the main artwork shirt, which mm-hmm. is got the two trucks on it. And then they'll do like a special event shirt. So at first he was like, we're just going to run with it. We're just going to run with the main one. And then I knew it was going to happen. As it got closer mm-hmm. to the event, he was going to go, we need to do a special event shirt, like a special mm-hmm. one. And he showed me a picture of a wheel, and I remember it was like, I don't know what night it was, but he's like, I need this view lower, you know, from wheel height looking up at a wheel. Cause the artwork's going to be like it's sitting on the beach type thing.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, oh, okay, I've got footage like that somewhere. And then I forgot to send it to him. So midnight, I popped out of bed, and I'm like, oh, I ran into the office, and I was like, I'm scouring through Mini Nat's footage mm-hmm. and all this footage of to see if I had a screen capture I could send him of this. And then I go, why am I doing this?
Yeah, like, yeah.
I said I could just call any one of my hundreds of mini truck friends and take their phone outside and just go,
yeah, and just
click.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to bed.
Yeah. There you go. Hey, worked out. And I get to be on another t-shirt. So yay.
I know. Right.
But anyway, yeah. Yeah. Lots of stuff going on. I've been pretty busy, getting ready for the show and everything like that. Just, you know, normal stuff for me, printing.
That's what I was going to ask you. Is Angie going?
Angie's going. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Cause I was like, oh, this is a different scenario if Angie wasn't going as far as helping Frank. Cause you,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I'm barely in the booth, and our booths might not be directly next to each other. They might be like
Yeah, because like, now that whole that area where it was like, because where the booths used to be, you kind of used to, like, I was on the concrete part or the asphalt part, and you were up on the dirt part, kind of like this.
Yep.
You know, so how does that scenario work now that there's a pool there?
So that pool, so you know the parking spaces where your booth was?
Mm-hmm.
That wall, the back of the pool, comes out to those parking spaces.
Yeah.
So the vendors were probably, I don't know if we're going to be able to fit the vendors there. Or, or the vendors that need, like, if you want to put your trailer behind you. That's right. Going to be the biggest issue. I don't know if your trailer is going to be able to be behind your booth.
Oh, okay.
So
that's not that bad because, like, we're really just planning on.
Well, when are you getting up there?
I'm getting up there Friday.
All right, okay. I was going to say, if you're getting up there Thursday, we could probably make it happen. But Friday, everything will already be set up.
Yeah, but since we're only really vendoring one day now, Saturday.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's
so
true.
It's easy just to bring it all out.
And right. You can then just drive the trailer in. I didn't even think about that part. Heck yeah. That makes it way easier.
Yeah, yeah. And then we just dump it, set it up, and then move the trailer and bring it back and put it away.
Yeah, because I don't even know.
Multiple days.
I'm thinking about parking show cars again where the vendors were previously mm-hmm. and then moving the actual vendors to the parking spaces across from that.
Oh, yeah, that would work too. Kinda,
and then you remember where Switch was at that bulkhead of the grass? Mm-hmm. Maybe putting some vendors there and then.
That's just like one of those scenarios that you got to figure out when you get there.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm pretty stoked that it's only one day because, you know, you're just done and you wake up in the morning and do what
you
gotta
do. Yeah, it's going to be cool. Yeah, it's definitely going to be cool. Looking forward to it. But yeah, just that's it, man. That's what's going on.
That's what's going on?
Yeah. We're going to do some questions.
Let's see.
I didn't look at them. So
these are a lot questions? Of these are like older. Some of these are older or that have just kind of come through.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I need to save these because we need to go back and doing it. But ready for dropping in?
Yeah, do it.
All right.
Drop. And drop.
Dropping in.
Drop in.
Get off the merch.
Drop.
I don't have it.
Drop everything.
That's someone else's merch.
Drop it.
Okay.
All right. That's done.
I didn't want to get it. I never drink out of coffee mugs.
No, just the tumblers.
Yeah. So I'm going to bring the coffee mugs. I haven't put them on the website or anything. Mm-hmm. And then if your guys are going to the Forbidden Show, we have shirts and hoodies. And what I didn't realize at LST is we still had the older shirts.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because I kind of just stuffed them all in there.
Yeah, and people were asking for those. And I was like, oh, yeah, we don't have any more.
Oh, sorry.
Not people, like one person.
If there were hundreds of people who wanted the original D.
So this will all be in your booth at the Forbidden Show. Drops stuff. I'm gonna let you handle all that stuff.
Okay. Our friend Kenny from Florida brought up a good thing that we need. We have keychains. We have the ones that Donald made us, but I think we'll do some vinyl because I need to order some more for myself, like the one that's behind you.
Yep.
I think we'll do some vinyl D's. What do you think?
Yeah, some vinyl D's.
So, and then I got to talk to our other buddy, Vic, because he puts those together for us. I'm getting, just to jump on another subject really quick, but I'm about done with this camera. I'm ready to move on. I'm ready to upgrade because I'm tired of this whole, like, you know, the whole stopping and, you know, doing and everything like that. Just little thing. I'm actually just building a case in my mind to just go get it because, like, I'm all like, just, I mean, it's fine. We've been doing almost 100 episodes this way. But I'm like,
you're also going to need new lenses too.
I know. Well, yeah, I'm going to, I think I've been doing, you know how we go, like we just do a ton of research, watch tons and tons of videos. And I think what I'm going to do to start is just get the adapter.
You're not going to want to do it.
Why?
Because you're going to have this nice new light camera with this insanely front heavy lens on it.
That's true.
This is what I would do.
Okay.
I would pick one. One new lens, like a 24-105, 24-70, something versatile, right?
Yeah.
And save up enough to buy that lens and the camera at one time.
That's a chunk. But yeah.
It is a chunk, but you're going to hate it just as much as you hate that camera there with that 24-105.
Yeah.
You'll be like, and what's it? I mean, I don't know. How much is the adapter?
$130.
Okay, so that's $130 towards a new lens.
Yeah, but it is also a $1,500 lens.
Yeah, that's the bad thing about Canon is they don't, like, if you went into the Sony infrastructure, mm-hmm. you could buy the I have the Tamrons, mm-hmm. and they're cheap. They're like $700 for a really good lens. Like, they have the wide lens, they have the mm-hmm. versatile 24-70, they've mm-hmm. got the tele, and they're all, you can buy all three lenses, the wide, the 24-70 or 20, I think theirs is a 28-75, and then the, you don't need the telephoto, but they call it the triple threat of lenses, mm-hmm. the Tamrons. They're all 2.8, so they're all super low f-stop, not super low, but low f-stop, and you can get them for the price of one.
Yeah, but then I got to go to Sony, and I don't want to do that.
Yeah. Well, you're going to a different Canon infrastructure anyways. You're not, it's not, the menus aren't the same, so it's like you're not.
They actually are. Well, the one I'm looking at, they're very similar.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, they're similar. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, even the new Sony menu systems aren't like the old Sony menu systems. They're mm-hmm. very, just something to think about, because you can get lenses, third-party lenses on Sony's. You cannot get third-party lenses on Canon right now.
Right.
You're going to have to get those very expensive.
Now I got
to
do more. I thought I was ready.
No, they're like 100% completely honest. Like, Canon it's Canon and Sony when it comes to all this stuff, and, right. and Nikon too. But like, cost-wise, Sony is cheaper than Canon because of the lens situation, which is mm-hmm. just as important as the camera situation.
Right.
So,
well, now I got to do more research. Thanks.
I know.
But anyway, well, we dropped in, so let's.
Oh yeah, let's we're in. Answering our we're dropping in on ourselves. Yeah, we're answering, asking, and answering our own questions here. But no, I know what you mean. You start to get frustrated with stuff, and then.
Well, since I haven't edited the Pocket 3 footage yet that I did at LST, because that's what I used for a lot of the vlogging. So I haven't edited it yet to like really cement myself in that. Like, that's my new vlog camera. I think it is. I'm pretty sure it is, but I haven't just done that extra part of editing, which is mm-hmm. the next video that I'm going to jump into. But I'm just sort of at this crossroads with all this stuff. I could actually, if I wanted to, if I did want to switch into a different, you know, world, which was Sony, like, this is the perfect opportunity to do it. Cause that Pocket doesn't matter. Cause the Pocket's so different anyway. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. You're using it for a different thing.
Yeah. So
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, staying Canon doesn't mean anything to you if you have to, you're buying lenses.
Yeah.
And
I'm sort of starting right at the beginning again.
You're kind of starting over again.
And I don't know.
Yeah. I'll send you some information on the lenses so you can do some research and mm-hmm. see cost wise, like, okay, it would cost me this much for this, and it'll cost me this much for this. Mm-hmm. And the Sony, this camera is freaking durable. I showed you, I dropped it from way high the other day.
That was crazy.
That was so stupid.
Man, your heart just, because you said you put it up on your shoulder and it slipped out of the chute.
I like lifted it up to adjust the legs.
And then
the camera fit. So the camera was over my head and it fell directly on the ground, and it had a long, like a real long lens on it mm-hmm. with a lens hood on it, and it must have just went like this because the lens is heavy and just hit that lens hood.
Wow.
And it's funny because I like looked down and I didn't even, nothing changed in my body. My heart didn't skip a beat.
Really?
It was like my brain, as soon as the camera fell off the camera, my brain went, well, I guess I have to buy a new one of those tomorrow. And wow. it was like before it hit the ground, I was already okay with it. Wow. Like,
that's like some higher plane of existence, I think.
It is really weird. Wow. Or I just knew it was going to be fine. One of the two.
Yeah, maybe. But I looked down, deep down the recesses of your brain, you're like, this is fine.
I think so, yeah. Olin, who I was shooting his car, was just like, ooh. And he kind of like, he's like, and I just picked it up, and like I took the lens, broken lens hood off, and I like turned it on, pointed at his car, and still works.
We're good.
We're good. And he ordered me a lens hood, and it showed up yesterday.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah, he was like on his phone. He's like, what's your address? And then he's like right then and there.
Oh, that's cool. Shipped one. That was that hot rod?
That rat rod, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Anyway, dropping in.
I don't know. We just have a lot going on.
Yeah, listen, I know. There's
trying
a lot of
we're trying to
parts.
Work through our stuff too, people.
I know, right?
You know?
This is our podcast to deal with our problems.
And we have quite a bit.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Lot to unpack.
Let's see. this. Some of these are really long.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got time. I don't have time. So you want to hurry up?
what's your hard out?
Well, not really a hard out time, but I just got like a lot of stuff going on, a lot of things that need to happen sooner than later.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here we go, Mr. Bacon.
Oh, Mr. Bacon.
Mr. Bacon.
Uh-huh.
He said, what non-automotive channels do you watch?
I think we cover that quite extensively. You watch camping stuff. I watch music videos.
Specific channels, though?
Specific channels for me. No, because like I said, I just watch a bunch of like music videos and stuff, so it's not really anything specific. There's not really a... I'm really fascinated by this whole Hoonigan thing. Like all of these guys breaking off and creating their own channels. Like I just saw another one that Suppy guy. He's like an import dude. Builds cars and stuff. Anyway, so he, you know, there's like this like little domino effect. I think it started with Scotto and then Vin, and then like just kind of one by one, these dudes are like, you know, leaving Hoonigan and starting their own stuff. I watched one with Zach.
I watched that.
Yeah,
one too.
that was a good one. I'm just sort of like really fascinated by that right now, about that whole kind of like world, you know. Anyway,
I've talked about it before, but there's a thing called Vlogumentary.
Oh yeah, you have mentioned that. Yeah,
it is now on YouTube to watch for free. I want to send you a link because you should definitely, like, if you have a free hour and 20 minutes one night, mm-hmm. or break it up over whatever, it's so interesting because it just talks about the beginning of the vlogs,
mm-hmm.
and these guys, there's one guy from Idaho, one guy from Florida, and then a bunch of people in LA, some people in New York, they just started vlogging, right? And then they all moved to LA and created a media company, and they were doing YouTube videos, so they were doing their own YouTube videos on the side, vlogs, and then they were creating almost like skits type of things, short movies, mm-hmm. all this stuff, whatever, producing, editing, all this stuff. They had this thing just like the Hoonigans did. That didn't last very long. And it's just kind of one of those things where you get all these people together like that, and eventually things change.
And you said it, that it's sort of like predisposed because it just happens. It's like a cycle, like all of these cycles.
And what it feels like now, like you watched a lot more of the Hoonigan stuff than I did. Mm-hmm. Also, all these people that are doing meets and stuff like that and burning out in people's parking lot, you could thank the Hoonigans for that, by the way.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Definitely.
That whole Hoonigan mentality is like comes from that, you know, that whole like Burnyard type just recklessness, mm-hmm. and stuff. But now I don't, and I still don't watch it now. I'll watch something if the vehicle's interesting or something, mm-hmm. like I'm like, oh, I want to see that thing. Like there was that full size Chevy that On the Gas guys built that just,
oh, yeah,
was going nuts down the runway over there. And that was cool. But like, it's hard to force something you used to have.
Definitely. Well, especially like, and I don't know how to frame this, but like, especially when, like I said, big corporations, big conglomerates come in and try to like you got to look at it from their perspective. They're like, oh, there's this brand. It's really cool. Everybody likes it. You know, we have the money to acquire this and try to, but then like it always seems to lose that authenticity. And I don't want to talk poorly of like any big companies like, you know, like Wheelpro or anything like that, because who knows who you're going to be working with at some point, you know. But I don't know. It's just definitely like it definitely changes things, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And who knows what it was, because that, I think even before Ken Block passed away, that deal was already,
oh yeah,
like,
that deal
place,
was done,
right?
Actually,
that, it was done,
that deal was done before COVID.
Okay.
Yeah, it was like 18, 19.
So we don't even know like if that's the reason why. I personally think that that's only a small part of the reason. I think the bigger part of the reason is these guys just grew up. They just started to like be like that. You can only be chaos and all that stuff for so long.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
You know, and if one piece of the puzzle leaves, mm-hmm. and pursues his own thing or whatever, it really like puts kinks into the chain.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, it, like you said, it's just a natural progression of things.
And you know, and then to kind of go back to what I said, when I don't really like, oh, there's no channels I watch. But yeah, I've been like watching Vin's channel a lot because they all kind of like, just like you're saying, they all had their own kind of little thing going on. Like Vin's channel is really about, like, you know, not flipping cars necessarily, kind of flipping cars, where it's like purchasing cars, doing stuff to them, you know, selling them, and the budgets that are involved and everything like that. So that's really interesting. You bought that Ferrari. The dude flips cars, you know, left and right. So that's interesting. And then that Zach dude was really into, like, you know, like motors and power and stuff. So, like, I guess, yeah, all these different personalities have now splintered into their own identities, you know, which is going to be interesting to watch them, like, individually succeed, you know?
Yeah. The non-automotive stuff that,
that was his question, is all
music videos,
yeah,
though, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All, yeah, non-automotive stuff is just what changes, like, currently it's just camera reviews.
Yeah, yeah. My stuff, like, have you heard of MKEH? He's a review guy.
MK Ultra? No, I was kidding.
No, no.
Not that.
Anyways, they have a podcast called WVFRM, Waveform.
Oh, okay.
And that's pretty cool. And then obviously a lot of, you know, camping.
Mm-hmm.
Camping stuff. Like, not really camping, but more like off the grid type stuff.
Right.
Just trying to find the... I'm going through my history, actually, on here just to see what it was. Anyways...
Mm-hmm.
And Lemon Party.
Oh yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. those views are pretty funny. Like, you've kind of turned me on to them, and but it's definitely one of those things where I got to take it in chunks. Like, I can't listen to, like, whole episodes with those dudes. I'm like,
no, I can listen to a whole episode. I can't listen to, like, back to back episodes, but I can definitely listen to a whole episode. But I usually don't, anyways, because my podcast intake is like, get up, and then I'll listen to a podcast while I'm getting ready for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes if I have to hop in my truck, then I'll listen to it. I'll continue it in my truck. But a lot of times I'll switch to a different one. So I kind of like jump back and forth to different.
Right. My only different one. And this is kind of in the same vein of like podcasts, because I don't listen to too many automotive podcasts. Again, they're all like music, like a couple graffiti podcasts, like nothing really automotive based, but like we joke about it a lot, but a lot of my existence is like music driven. So everything is like, is based in music. So I don't know, bumping my, my stock Titan stereo, pulling into car shows. That's my MO.
Did you, at the beginning I was like, I kind of came into a, speaking of non-auto, or I don't even know where I was going with this, but earlier I said I kind of came to a decision or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So show coverage stresses me out, like editing show coverage. Yeah. And I found out why.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. This is big.
This is big. It's the music.
Oh, that, yeah. Like, cause you're confined to like this, like licensed music.
I'm not doing it no more.
Oh, really?
This video here, I got music that
you just went for it.
Just went for it. Yeah. Wow. And I was so excited to edit it last night.
Man, that's freeing.
Yeah, it was. And I'll keep the
that's
other
what you
stuff
were talking
for,
about earlier, how you've kind of came to a different like perspective on creating content on YouTube. Oh, okay.
Because even just doing short clips, like I was trying to find music on Artlist for, I was doing a clip for Pro Performance the other day, and I'm trying to find this music, and I'm on Artlist, and I don't use Epidemic almost at all anymore.
Mm-hmm.
For some stuff I do background ambient stuff, but like Artlist, I'm on there and I'm just getting mad.
Yeah.
And mad.
It's frustrating.
And
it's
mad,
so frustrating.
And mad and mad. And I'm just getting so mad. And I'm like, this is what's making me mad.
Mm-hmm.
I need to go back. Yeah. I need to go back to the part where like it was the music that I enjoyed more than the actual footage.
Man. So. It gives me kind of chills. Cause like, I want to do that too. Like, yeah, I get in the same way.
I'm to a point now where the money that like the monetization of YouTube is not enough. I'll sell more shirts on the website that'll make up the same amount of money that I'm making like that. Like
that's
I don't want to like, it's going to help me edit more. It's going to help
you're
me
gonna
edit
create
more
content.
It's also exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm going to keep monetizing the build stuff. So the build stuff will stay monetized.
Mm-hmm.
The podcast stuff will stay monetized, but like, that stuff will probably just go the way of
this might be the dawn of a new beginning.
I think it is.
Because like there's, you know, a few, not a lot, but there have been people who ask me about like monetization, like when they're starting channels and stuff and like getting to that point when you can start monetizing. And I'm kind of in the same thing. It's like, I got bad news for you. Like, this is, if you're like trying to get to this point to like start making a bunch of money doing this, like
that, the only way to do it is making is longer form content, you know, 20, 30 minute long videos, people, and then retention.
That and having products to sell them.
Well, just retention it. Like I'm talking like,
oh, like if you yeah. relied strictly like on the
YouTube monetization, you know what yeah, I mean? Yeah. Like that's the keeping the people watching for the longest time. If you watch your drop off, mm-hmm. it's like my drop off is pretty significant. You know what yeah. I mean? It's like keeping them on board for a while.
Yeah.
So. Anyway,
it'll be interesting to see, like, to go back to Vin's channel, you know, Vin and all the rest of these dudes bursting out into their own thing. It'll be interesting to see when, because you can kind of see like subtly what's happening. So if he keeps on creating content and the same, then that means that he is doing that. He has the retention. He has the monetization to make a significant amount of money doing that. But if you start seeing him like come up with products and stuff, then you realize like, yeah, maybe, you know, they're trying to like, maybe this is
Yeah. Because I think those guys don't heavily edit their videos. So they're not taking a lot of time. They're just actually filming what they do on a normal day. Mm-hmm. They're not like taking extra time to do that stuff.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're not like, we take extra time to go to a car show. That's just how those guys, that's what they do every day.
Yeah.
So they might be making money other ways by editing someone else's stuff or producing someone else's stuff right. or whatever. That's actually their job. They're filming their hobby mm-hmm. where, so the money is not important.
Yeah. Could be. Yeah. We don't
YouTube
know.
Monetization. We don't know. Anyway,
our lives.
This podcast is off the rails.
It is. No, I love these ones. These are my favorite ones.
Same. This is what we're calling this podcast. It's off the rails.
Off the rails.
We went from dropping in, Bacon asked us what non-automotive channels we watched, so we told him what automotive channels we watched.
yeah, I like it. See, but a lot of the dropping in questions are just more like a springboard for us.
It is, yeah. And we like that. Yeah. So this is one. This is a quick one.
Okay.
Are caddy lights still cool?
Oh, like rears?
Yes.
It depends on the truck.
I think caddy lights look the best in S10s, round body S10s.
S10s like, and Mazdas.
Yes.
Because Mazdas are so square in the back, like yep. they look good. But when you, if you try to put caddy lights in a Toyota, they look weird because they're so round. I don't know. It's just
yeah.
my opinion.
The taillight conversions are, for me, they used to be whatever. I mean, I had Integra taillights in my Toyota.
Right.
They didn't look great. but it was just like, do whatever you can to be different.
Exactly.
And now it's like, no, it has to fit the shape.
And I'm sorry to, if anybody is doing this, I commend you and I'm glad you're doing it. But when they start, like, also weird headlight conversions, like...
Headlight conversions are really hard.
They're
and
hard.
And someone posted Josh Freeman's old Toyota, his 89-95.
That one's a good one, though.
That looked good, though.
Yeah, that's a good
and
one.
Who would? And I even made the comment. I'm like, who would have thought a car front end from a Honda would look cool on a Toyota?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's again, it took it's, a lot of work to do it. It's car. It's headlight, taillight choice. It's execution. Like there's a whole yep. bunch of things involved.
Yeah.
But caddy lights specifically, I love them, but definitely in an S10 or a Mazda.
Yeah.
Don't go try putting that in a Colorado or something. Imagine someone puts that in a new Tacoma.
Yeah, it just yeah, yeah. it wouldn't look good.
As some guy, as some guy like, sitting in his garage like
doing it, he's like, oh, he just shuts the podcast off. Listen, if you shut our podcast off based on our opinions, we totally understand.
Yeah, no, it, absolutely. Totally.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see.
No, maybe we'll save some of these for next week because we still got to crank
we
out
do.
One more
we,
episode.
Yeah, we do.
And so next week we'll talk more about the Forbidden Show because it'll be right up against it. All the stuff we got going on. I dropped a sweater. Did I last episode? No, we didn't. I didn't talk about this last episode. I put a sweater up on the website. Our Locos Only is now on a sweater. So that's available on the website. Go grab one of those if you want. Yeah. We still got our giveaway going on. We got our 444s we're giving away. Did we?
I've been really reluctant to post that stuff on Instagram because I'm seeing a lot of, not a lot, but like there's a guy out here that makes knives and he's doing the giveaways and stuff.
Oh, so there's a lot of giveaways going on?
Well, his page keeps getting like tagged, like shut off. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, so it kind of freaks me out.
Like, I haven't seen any of that. Like, they're shutting. Why are they shutting him down? Because he's giving stuff away or...
It's like gambling.
Oh, it is.
You know, in a sense, it's like gambling, mm-hmm. you know, even though technically you're just getting an entry because you're buying a physical product, you know,
mm-hmm.
but like,
maybe we need to word it differently.
I just, cause I've put stuff on there on the stories or whatever, mm-hmm. and they're like, no, we're not posting this.
Oh really? They straight up said no.
Yeah.
Is it because, so also yours is a business page, right?
No,
yours is a personal
page.
Well,
creator.
See, mine's just a straight up personal page. So maybe that's like the end or something.
I just remember there was that time too when we were in Vegas, me and Chupas, and Chupas' page just got completely deleted because of copyright stuff.
Oh, really?
Like they just turned it off.
But then to go back to that conversation with you creating these videos with
but it's different. It's not Instagram, it's YouTube.
Right.
And they've changed that completely.
Oh, they take a different approach at it now.
No, even back then, it wasn't a copyright strike.
Uh-huh.
It was just you're limited.
And they're
on.
And also,
so there's a difference between a copyright strike.
Yeah.
And just
like a, hey, by the way,
you can't monetize
it. Exactly. And then the person who created the song gets the monetization. Yeah.
Well, or half of it, or you can't monetize it at all. But at the same time, like, I'm monetizing it by selling merch.
Oh yeah,
and
no,
I'm
for
monetizing
sure.
it. I just want to bring more views in,
yeah.
and all that stuff, and make it fun for me again. Mm-hmm. You know how it is, just looking for music. Anyone that edits videos,
mm-hmm. the hardest part is finding music.
They're, oh man,
yeah.
it's infuriating.
Oh, I know.
Infuriating.
Anyway, thanks for coming back here to our rooms and checking us out.
This is our. Our basic white sterile
podcast
studios.
Yeah. Anyway,
Go buy stuff on our websites, yep. and go buy stuff at the car show from us this weekend. We'll have the drop mugs.
Oh yeah, because this episode is coming out the week of Forbidden. So yeah, we'll see you this weekend at Forbidden Fantasy.
Yeah. Yeah, come by Frank's booth. He'll have mugs. He'll have drop hoodies. He'll have drop shirts. He might not have them on display.
Well,
but just ask him. You know, I'll walk by the booth and be like, "Hey, don't forget about the drop stuff.
Come on." Dude, don't forget, this whole weekend is it's gonna be fun. There's gonna be lots of fun stuff going on, but anyway, I'll probably forget a few things.
Oh yeah, okay,
anyway,
that's
bye.
It later.
See you later.